Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
You feel good? I feel good. I'm ready to preach. Are you ready to hear some preaching? You feel ready. You sound ready. You know, I was thinking about tonight, and, you know, as we're in the prayer meeting, just like before, this is a great place to be if you need something from the Lord, because I believe God is here to touch people. And tonight, just thinking particularly about those who have an addiction and are struggling with an addiction. And maybe if you're not walking through an addiction, you maybe don't think about it much, but there are a lot of people who struggle with that. And the addiction can be such a trap, because when somebody's in that, they feel like there's no way out. And sometimes they're in that addiction and they're not telling anybody. And they feel like if they told somebody, that would just be worse. And I believe tonight God wants to free people from addiction. And I believe that for not only this room, but the people that are watching online. So I wanted to take a moment, and I'm not even gonna have you raise your hand if that's what you're walking through, but I do wanna encourage you, if you are walking through an addiction, to receive what the Lord wants to do tonight, but also to take steps after that to tell somebody and to get help, because the Lord wants to help you, but he's going to surround you. You need to get believers in your life who are mature, who can help you. And he wants to surround you with that, and you need that in order to succeed, okay? So, but can we pray right now for those who are struggling with addiction, that there would be freedom in Jesus' name? Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, and we come to you tonight, God, for those who are walking through an addiction, Lord. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you would free them. Lord, we ask for those, God, who are, God, there's a chemical addiction, Lord. There's a chemical dependence, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would touch their body and that you would free them in the name of Jesus. Lord, whether that's addiction, God, to, Lord, a drug, God, or cigarettes, Lord, or whatever that is, Lord, pornography, I pray in Jesus' name that you would free them. Lord, there's power in the name of Jesus. Lord, and so we come before the throne of grace on behalf, God, of brothers and sisters, God, or those who maybe don't even know you, God, who are watching online, God, or here in the room, and we ask, Father, that you would touch them, and we ask that you would heal them in the name of Jesus. We ask that there be freedom in the name of Jesus. Lord, many of those, God, you know, God, that, Lord, the horrible condemning thoughts, God, that they face on a daily basis, Lord. Lord, and the pain, God, that they walk through because of that, Lord, and the pain, God, those around them experience because of that. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that you would help them in the name of Jesus, and that you'd free them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for what you're gonna do. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, we came to the prayer meeting to pray, didn't we? So it's good that we're praying, right? Right. I'm so excited because I'm talking to the hungry people in the room tonight. I'm talking to the hungry people. I'm talking to the people that said, you know what? I'm glad it's thunderstorming outside because I get to walk through the rain to church, all right? The enemy can't stop me because I'm gonna be there whether or not it's raining, sunny, cold, I am there. That is you. You are the hungry people, all right? Can you give yourselves a hand? Can you give yourselves a hand? And for those, there are some that are watching online and they said, you know what? I don't know if it's safe, and I think that's okay. You're hungry because you're watching online. I think we should give them a hand as well. They said, I'm still gonna be in church. So good. Well, here's what I wanna do tonight, because I believe there are a lot of people who are in need of God's strength and God's comfort tonight. And I wanna speak to you about that thing that you're looking for a way out of. That situation where you're searching for a better way, that place where you're looking for a way to win and can't find answers. And I want to bring you an answer from Scripture, and it may not be what you think, But once you apply it to your life in the presence of God, you'll look back on this time in your life and you'll say, I didn't know what to do, but I found out waiting was the way. Waiting was the way. You know, sometimes when we're walking through something, it can seem counterintuitive to stop for a moment. You know, have you ever been going somewhere and you're like, man, I don't even want to stop for directions. I'd rather just keep driving and figure it out. And that's sometimes how we can do life, but there are things in life, you know, things where we don't know the answer. Where maybe you're walking through a transition right now, or maybe in your marriage, you're like, I don't have the answers for this, or I've never done this before. Maybe you're a parent and you're like, I've never done this before. And I need help. I need to know what to do. And so we can think if we just keep pounding at it, that's how we'll get our breakthrough. But sometimes in scripturally speaking, waiting is the way to our breakthrough, the way to what God wants to do in our life. And we're gonna look at a scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. And just to give you a little context, Israel is exiled and they're in Babylon and they're in a place that it's a bad place, you know? It's like, it's a place where they feel stuck. And it's a place where they don't feel like a lot is going for them, and it's hard. And they wonder because of the place that they're in, that it's they're there because of the decisions that they made. It's a judgment from the Lord that they were exiled, and so they feel that maybe this because of the consequences that they're facing, that God doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And that's the situation that they're in, and they need strength and they need comfort. They need God's help. And so Isaiah writes this passage in Isaiah 40 to comfort them. But he says some things in there that you're like, man, I don't even find that very comforting. I don't know. If I was comforting people, I don't think I would be saying what you're saying because that doesn't feel very comforting. And so we're gonna look at it in Isaiah chapter 40. It says this, it says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. But then he goes on to say, a voice said, shout. And I asked, what should I shout? And he said, shout, people are like grass. It's a funny thing to shout. People are like grass and their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in the field, and the grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, as you read that, you think, man, if I was trying to comfort people, I'd be like, you know, that's like you coming to me and telling me that you have problems and you say, you know, I'm not sure, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know if I can keep going. I don't know where God is in all this. And that's like me saying to you, you know, yep, you're pretty weak. You're pretty weak. And you look tired. And I don't really know that you're gonna make it. I mean, but that's life, and you're born and then you die, you know? It's like, you're like, what kind of comfort is that, you know? But that's like kind of what Isaiah is saying here. He's like, yeah, I know I'm gonna give you some comfort, and I'm gonna start it off by saying, you know what? Life's short, and you're born and then you die. And it doesn't seem like that's very comforting in this moment. And I don't know, have you ever been in a situation where you were like, man, I don't really want somebody to tell me the truth, you know? Because you're like, I'd just rather them tell me a lie, you know, like, no, that dress looks great on you, you know, or that outfit looks awesome on you, or, you know, you know, you'd rather somebody say something like, yeah, what you said didn't offend me at all. Like, absolutely, I am not offended. And you're like, I absolutely know it did, but I'm really glad you're saying that. You know, or no, you're a great singer, you know? You're a really great singer. I'm really glad I'm sitting next to you. You know, sometimes I think we live life like American Idol, you know? Like, do people still watch American Idol? What's the singing show right now? The Voice. Is that still around? That's pretty cool. I don't watch TV very much. I need to get out more. We can live life that way. And when things are rough, you know, after those singing shows and like the judges all hit the X or whatever they do. And then they say, you get the kid in the back and he's like, you know, this is stupid. And my mom says I'm a great singer. And you're like, boy, your mama lied to you, all right? Your mama just told you what you wanted to hear instead of what you needed to hear. You know, sometimes we want to hear something different than the truth. But the problem with that is if we don't hear the truth, then we find ourselves just moving on and then find ourselves in the same problems all over again. And so when you need strength and when you need comfort, you don't just need somebody to say, oh, it's going to be all right. You need somebody to bring you a little truth. And that's actually what builds you up the most, is when you start from a foundation that's real. And Isaiah comes to them and goes, yeah, you feel weak and you feel like you need strength. And yeah, you are weak and you really don't have it all figured out and you really don't have enough strength to get through. And that's a great starting point. Because some of you are here and you've never like really sought the Lord for anything, at least not in the recent past. And you keep trying and you keep trying and you keep trying, and you need somebody to come to you and say, you know what? Like, you're human, all right? And some of your problems are bigger than you know how to solve. And some of the things that you're facing are bigger than you know what to do and how to face. And you're looking for a way out, but you're only gonna find the way out in the waiting. And it's until you humble yourself and say, you know what? I'm like, I'm gonna be here and gone tomorrow. I don't really, in the big scope of things, if you were talking how much I matter, I don't really matter that much. I really can't make that big of a difference. Like, I'm, you know, this is, it's kind of like, you know, you think of like, just anything that you prepare for, anything that you do, you're like, this is gonna be over in a second. Only God can make it matter, and only God can really bring the change. But you keep trying and you keep acting like you're gonna figure it out. And I think the Lord, you know, sometimes he just lets you keep running into that wall, you know? It's like, you just picture like some guy and he's like, gets up and he runs full speed into a wall, and then he does it again and he does it again. And it's like, when are you gonna stop and figure out this isn't working? And I love how Isaiah comes to them and says, you know what? You're trying a bunch of your own stuff, but you need to recognize like you don't have what it takes, and you're not able to do this on your own. You need strength from a supernatural place. And maybe if you're walking through something and you're looking for a way, or you're looking for a breakthrough, I want to encourage you tonight, it's not going to come from you. The Lord wants to help you, but it's going to come from him. But the way is in the waiting. The way is in the waiting. Now, when we talk about waiting, I think you need to understand when the Bible talks about waiting on God, the word waiting means like a hope-filled expectation. It literally means to lie and wait. Like you're, you know, I don't think we use that term a lot, but like you're gonna ambush somebody or you're gonna jump somebody, like you're lying in wait, like that expectation. It's not like waiting like you're sitting back and you're drinking a pina colada and you're like just hanging out. A non-alcoholic pina colada, that's what you're drinking, all right? Just to be clear. But it's not like that kind of waiting. It's the kind of waiting that you're sitting and you're like this. And so when we hear the word waiting, we're not talking about a passiveness, we're talking about an active, a spiritually active waiting. A hope-filled expectation that says, I know God's gonna come through, I just gotta look to him. I know God's gonna come through, I just gotta look to him, but I'm gonna keep looking and I'm gonna keep looking and I'm gonna keep looking until I see him come through. That's the kind of waiting that the Bible talks about. And you know, while you're waiting, you know, it's like this active trust. The Lord says, if you wanna receive from me, then you have to recognize you don't have what you need and come wait on me with an expectation. You know, comparison is like the best indicator usually for what's better than something else. Comparison, you know? So think about it this way. You know, Chick-fil-A is better than Burger King, all right? I think we can all. Does anybody think Burger King's better than Chick-fil-A? Show of hands. One person. That's awesome. You're a blessed man. Rap or country? Rap or country? iPhone or Android? Republican or Libertarian? That's so good. When we compare, we find out what's better. So God says, hey, you're here. So I just kind of want you to think about maybe what's the best thing. And then I love how this is put. Isaiah writing this by the Spirit of God. It says this, to whom will you compare me? This is the Lord talking. Who is my equal? So what can you set God next to? And you'd be like, I think God wins. You're like, there's really nothing that you can do that to because there's no even comparison. Like, it doesn't even make sense to set God next to something else. He's so much better than everything else. There's nothing that compares to him. Ask the whole thing, look up to the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Like this great God, how can you think that God does not see where you're at? How can you think, oh, you know, if God wanted to do something about this, he probably doesn't even see me here because if he wanted to do something about this, he would have done it already. He doesn't see where I'm at. How can you think that? This is the God who made this. He literally knows each star's name. You can go to the next slide. How can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Now, so I want you to say, speaking of comparison, we just saw, hey, we're like grass. We're gonna fade. We're like temporary. We're not eternal. But yet this God, he never grows weary. He never needs understanding. He never lacks wisdom. That's the kind of God that we serve. And so then, wait, how do I get my breakthrough? Where is it gonna come from? How is it gonna work? Well, let's look what he says. He says this in the next verse. You can go to the next one. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. So even young people that think they're strong, you know, young people, they're like, I can do this even when they can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, oh, I got that. And you're like, no, you don't. You don't know anything about life. You know, like, that's where he's saying. He's saying young people, they do have a lot of strength, but even there, they're going to grow weary. Young men shall faint and be exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. God says, you know what? You're like this, but I am like incomparable to you. And if you wait on me, all that incomparable strength and all that incomparable wisdom and all that incomparable power is available to you. And I think the cool thing about God is, and you see this in scripture, is we think, oh yeah, God wants me to wait on him. Yeah, because God really needs that. No. It's not like that. God does want you to wait on him, not because he needs you, but he's actually waiting on you to wait on him. He's just waiting for you so he can ambush you, so he can jump you with his blessing, so he can ambush you with his goodness, so he can give you a way out because you waited on him. And give you a way out with his wisdom. He can help you with supernatural strength, but that requires an active waiting on our part and an active humility that says, God, I don't compare to you and I really don't know. And so God, I'm willing to step out and I'm willing to say, God, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to get in your presence. I'm going to wait on you in the active sense to say, God, I'm here. I'm ready. I need you. I want you, God. And those who do that get it. I just one final thought. I think it's interesting. It's the they that gets me. They. That means that there are some who don't get it, who don't get the renewed strength. They who wait on the Lord get the renewed strength. But some people actually leave it on the table. You know, leave something good on the table. Leave something that is theirs on the table, just because they either don't believe that if they wait on the Lord that he'll renew their strength, or they're just too apathetic to leave it, to have it. But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You know, we were talking earlier in the service, the righteous take it by force. God puts some things out there, and he says, if you're hungry and you want it, you come get it. Just like that lady who Jesus was talking to, and she said, Lord, but don't even the dogs eat after the table? You know, Jesus was kind of testing her faith in that moment. And he's like, that is awesome. That's some great faith. She was persistent. And those who wait on the Lord renew their strength. And you're going to find a way out to something you didn't know how to get out of through the waiting. So I want to encourage you right now. We have a little bit of time. I want to encourage you to step out of your seat. We're going to open up the altars. But waiting on God is active. It is not passive. Some things, honestly, will never happen in your seat. They only happen when you say, God, I need it, I want it, and I'm hungry for it. And I believe as I wait on you, you're going to give it. God has comfort and strength for you as we wait on him. Let's wait on the Lord right now.